T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're talking about a place like Buffalo, a place that has been able to utilize Tyrod Taylor's mobility to an extent in the past. You're going to get a guy who can capitalize on moving pockets and adjusted platforms very similarly to Tyrod did, but you'll also get a guy who's much more willing to push the ball down the field, who's much more willing to take risks. Obviously, you know, there's a double-edged sword there, but Mayfield's going to immediately make your offense more dynamic and I think have a better threat to all three levels of the field for sure.
That is Benjamin Solak from NDT Scouting, who was on with us last week. Some of our numerous interviews when it comes to draft coverage. Let me correct myself. I forgot to, I was wrong on Paul Stastny. I've been talking about the rentals and not getting first-round picks. Stastny, I thought he had term left. He is a UFA. So he went to Winnipeg, and there was a first-round pick involved in that. Conditional, but it's still a first-round pick, whether it's this year or next year. There was a condition attached. But Stastny did fetch a first-round pick, although he is a center, not a winger,
yep.
I'm trying, right? So he's a center. But, okay, so yeah, if I really wanted to break it down, rental wingers did not get a first-round pick other than Rick Nash.
He is 32, Stastny is.
Yeah, and but they got a one from Winnipeg. What was it? It's if it's a top three this year, it becomes a one in 2019. If it's not a top three pick, then they get Winnipeg's first round pick this year. We were talking about Evander Kane, 803-0550. We'll continue to take your calls on the trade of Kane and the return that Jason Botchel got for Evander Kane and whatever else is on your mind. That's cool too. We are, as I said, talking a lot about the draft. The combine going on this week. Our Sal Capaccio is on his way to Indianapolis today to cover it. We're joined on the AT&T hotline by Phil Savage, former NFL scout, former NFL GM. These days, he's the executive director of the Senior Bowl. Just got an up-close and personal look at some of the quarterbacks in this year's crop, and he's with us right now. Phil, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hope you're doing well. Hope the weather's starting to break for you guys up there.
It's gorgeous. We have no snow. Phil, we declared winter over. It hasn't snowed in weeks, and it's going to be 55 today, so we're all good.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Hey, I'm really looking forward to talking to you about the quarterbacks because you had some big names down there at the Senior Bowl. Before I get into some specific guys with you, the overall group, including the underclassmen who were not at the Senior Bowl, as a former GM, as a guy who scouted players for a living, how would you classify the group of quarterbacks in the big picture this year?
Well, going back to last summer when we began to put our watch list together for the recent Senior Bowl, of course, our primary concern are the rising seniors, but it was apparent after being down at the Manning Passing Academy in June that there were going to be a number of underclassmen like Sam Darnold and Josh Allen from Wyoming and obviously Josh Rosen at UCLA, perhaps Lamar Jackson from Louisville, that would all be part of this draft class. So we felt like going into the season, it was going to be a deeper class. I would make 2 points. Number one, I think that there is very good depth from the guys that are getting a ton of attention now as potential first rounders, all the way through maybe the fourth and fifth round. I think there's going to be some interesting prospects that'll be taken, you know, in the mid to late part of this draft that ultimately may emerge one day. I would say the second point, though, is that, as is the case in recent memory, most of these quarterbacks are going to be overhyped, oversold. Look, there's a lot of talent in the class, but every single guy, if you don't want to like them, you can poke holes in them. So it's going to be fascinating over the next few months. We're going to hear a lot about those top guys that are going in the first round, how great they are, they're going to get beaten up, rather, over the next few months. And then on draft night, we're going to be told how great they are and they're going to be a franchise savior. So it's a bit of a mixed bag in that regard. and you just have to know for sure and live with exactly what you're going to get when you turn in the card on one of these prospects.
Okay, when it comes to picking guys apart, let me start with Baker Mayfield, who had a nice week down there at the Senior Bowl. But, you know, the deal on him, everybody will bring up his lack of height. How much of a concern would that be for you if you were heading up an NFL front office for an organization right now that is in dire need of a quarterback?
I think a lot of it depends on my offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, perhaps even head coach, because to me, Baker Mayfield is a couple of things. Number one, he's built his reputation on a competitive nature. That absolutely is verifiable. It's true. He's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder, but that's part of what makes up the success story of Baker Mayfield. The other part is that he's a playmaker. I mean, he's got an instinctive flair about his game in terms of how to distribute the ball, when to extend plays, launching it downfield, on the move, had a ton of production at Oklahoma. But here's the two downsides. Number one, he's a 6-foot quarterback, and number two, he's been in a relatively typical college spread offense that there's not a ton of carryover from what he did at OU to the NFL. So if I'm the GM and we want to fall in love with Baker Mayfield, we better all be on board knowing that we're going to have to manage and work with a 6-foot quarterback because he's not getting any taller. And for a lot of scouts and a lot of personnel people, that is an issue for them. It's not as much today as it was maybe 10 or 12 years ago, but the reality of it is that you have to accommodate your offense for a 6-foot quarterback. You've got to be willing to do that over a long period of time because, you know, I do think he's good enough to play, but he's got to find the right environment where someone's willing to work with him.
Okay, same perspective as the front office evaluator. Let's go to Josh Allen, who had a good week. I mean, he had a tough first half, but came out and looked really good in the second half of the game. But again, from your perspective, you know, everybody will talk about his completion percentage and his accuracy or maybe lack of accuracy. How much of a concern is that for you?
Well, with Josh Allen, I think you have to hedge your bet, and you're gonna roll the dice and say, hey, we know what he is today, but what do we think he can become in 18 to 24 months? Because there's no doubt that Josh Allen came in on the Tuesday practice, which was the first day out down here, and he let some footballs get away from him. I mean, there was some really nice passes, but then there'll be another throw that's 6 feet behind and, you know, into the ground or high and wide. And there are a lot of evaluators that don't think that accuracy can be coached up. If you don't believe that, then you probably should stay away from him. But if you buy into the arm talent, buy into the athleticism, buy into the fact that, you know, he's really only got 2 years worth of quality starts under his belt at Wyoming because he spent some time at a junior college and then essentially was a backup for a year at Wyoming. If you buy into those things, then he might very well be your guy. And conceivably, he could be the first pick in the draft because you look at Cleveland at the very top of the draft, the weather conditions they play in, you guys would be sort of in that same boat. There's no doubt that he's got the best arm of any of these guys, albeit there is some concern about the accuracy.
We're with Phil Savage, executive director of the Senior Bowl here on our AT&T hotline. The other guys, you know, if you wanted to, I'll just group them together for the sake of time here. Mason Rudolph, who was at the Senior Bowl but unable to take part because of an injury. Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold. I think that you had at least seen Darnold and Rosen at a Manning Academy. Do you have any thoughts on that group of four?
Well, you know, with Sam Darnold, I mean, this is another player that has quick eyes. He's got instincts about the position. He obviously made some big plays for USC over the last 2 years, but he also had a ton of turnovers. And, you know, that's a concern. It's something that's going to have to be cleaned up. And so, again, there's going to be some coaching involved here to make sure that Sam Darnold can reach his potential. To me, it's between Darnold and Allen as far as the first quarterback off the board by the time we get to the end of April. When you look at Josh Rosen, he may be the best pure passer in the group, but there is some concern about the overall maturity, the idea that, you know, he made some off-the-cuff remarks, and you just got kind of dive into that and figure out, okay, is this someone that can be an intangible leader for our organization? Can he represent our franchise in the public eye in that regard? I think the people at UCLA will tell you that they think he can, but at the same time, you have to make that determination on your own as an NFL franchise. Mason Rudolph, classic pocket passer, big stats at Oklahoma State. He's got height, he's got size, he's got the arm strength. He's a little bit stiff in his lower body in terms of some of the mobility. But I think that, you know, Mason's got a chance to slip into the first round. I'm thinking he's probably more of a second-round option for somebody. But he's definitely a candidate. And then with Lamar Jackson, he's probably the wild card in all of this. I had a chance to see Lamar in practice 2 years ago and in a live game this past year. And there's no denying the fact that he'll be probably the fastest quarterback that's coming in the draft since Michael Vick. He's taller than Vick. And he's probably got as big an arm, although he's not as accurate downfield as Michael Vick was when he came out of Virginia Tech. But, you know, there's going to be some teams that really are intrigued by his ability. There's going to be other teams that say, you know, we don't think we have enough time to really invest and work with him behind the scenes because we're in a win-now type of mode.
Phil, I want you to put yourself in Brandon Bean's shoes right now, okay? You're looking for a quarterback. He's talked about trying to find a franchise quarterback. We've talked about the guys that are available, at least in the top portion of the draft. You've got 21 and 22. You have two picks in round two. You have teams ahead of you in the draft that are also going to be in the market for quarterbacks, pending what happens in free agency. What kind of a challenge do you think it is for Brandon Bean if he needs to package and move up? How high should he have to get up? What kind of a challenge would it be to move up and get a guy they identify as the guy they love in this draft class?
Well, there's a number of avenues, you know, out there for the Bills. They could certainly get involved in free agency and try to get into that sweepstakes of some of these QBs that are out there. And, you know, that's really where you really have two parallel tracks. You've got your pro personnel department working on the current pros, current NFL players, and then you have, in evaluating your own team, then you have all the college scouts that have been out there for really the last 9 months trying to put this draft class together. And this is where those two tracks merge, where now you really have to start making comparisons between what you think Tyrod Taylor is versus what you think maybe an A.J. McCarron might be. Or if you want to go into the Kirk Cousins or Case Keenum free agents that are out there versus Mason Rudolph, who you probably could get. You can get all day long at 21 or 22 versus a second-round quarterback option like maybe a Kyle Laletta, who was here from the University of Richmond, ended up being our game MVP, versus maybe the Nate Peterman. Because, you know, obviously he had a disastrous start at one point in the season, but you know, they've invested a year into him, and have they determined that he's a backup, or do they still think he's a potential starter? So there's a lot of directions this can go. I think you've got to have sort of a sequential order in terms of, okay, these are the first decisions that we have to make. And number one is, what is our approach to free agency as it relates to Tyrod Taylor, who still obviously has another year left on his contract?
Final thing, Phil, that everybody's in Indy for the combine. From a team perspective, what are the most important things you took out of the combine? Is it interviews? Is it meeting these guys face-to-face, especially when it comes to quarterbacks and trying to figure out how these guys all tick?
Well, first of all, it's that overall medical exam, because this is the first time that you have that kind of information. And that really is what can sink a player's draft stock more than anything else. If there's some unidentified injury or some situation that's going on with an unresolved injury to a player. So that's first and foremost. I would say the interviews are particularly important for the underclassmen, the juniors that are just declared in January. I think over the course of time, the combine has become really two things for two different groups. For the seniors, it's a confirmation or a verification of what you've already determined a prospect to be. Look, all of these seniors have been graded, fully evaluated, and this is just sort of the cherry on top. So, you know what, we thought he was fast and he ran 4.44. We didn't think he would run well and he ran 5.4. So, you know, for the seniors, it's that approach, but the juniors, and this is what I think is really important for Brandon Dean and his player personnel staff and the coaches, is to really attack this junior class, because 100 juniors declared, and you only have about 3 or 4 months to do what you've already done in the last 10 months for the senior class to get this junior class integrated into your draft board. So to me, it's the medical exam, it's the interviews with the juniors, and then the final, really, evaluation of finding out where these juniors are from a measurable standpoint.
Phil, thanks. Thanks for giving us some time. Thanks for giving us the insight on the quarterbacks in this year's draft as well.
Okay, guys, I appreciate it, and I guess all I can say is good luck to you on this quarterback
we'll take
situation
it.
Because you just, it really is a winding road, and there's no way to know for sure where the Bills are picking, who they could end up getting. So I would look for them to at least delve into free agency and see where that might go. And then ultimately you'll have a lot clearer picture in the next 3 to 4 weeks, I would assume.
Okay, one quick question then. You made me come up with another question. I'm going to assume they're not going to give up a Brinks truck for Kirk Cousins. Is there a guy beyond Cousins that you love in free agency?
You know, I don't know that I would say that I would love any of them. And I think that's the question that the Bills have to ask themselves. Look, although there may be some pushback from the fans on Tyrod Taylor, they've got to make the determination of Tyrod Taylor at least for one more season versus these other quarterbacks that are perhaps out there beyond Kirk Cousins. To me, that's the determination they have to make. And then in the backdrop, is there a quarterback they can get their hands on, or is he already in the building in the form of Nate Peterman that they think they could attach their future to?
All right. Thanks again, Phil. Appreciate your time today.
Okay, good deal.
That is Phil Savage, a former GM in the NFL, longtime scouting director with the Ravens, now the executive director of the Senior Bowl.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.